Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I
long
once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I
long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, but take us in to the depth of this your word, Father, to help us to walk in obedience and walk straighter and stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ and according to your will and your way for our lives. Let us continue to walk that way, Father, so that we are always available when you need us or when you want to call upon us. Father, we know that we need you in our lives because without you, we're nothing, nor can we do anything, Father. And so, as the word goes, without you and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Now, Father, as we get into this morning, be with us. And have thy Holy Spirit to bring us a message this morning that you would have each one of us to receive. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be talking a little bit here this morning about Galatians chapter 3. Still going to stay in Galatians this morning, probably this evening too. We know that in the first two chapters, that Paul is dealing, and he's kind of arguing with those there in Galatia that his gospel is the true one. And also he gets into what his gospel really is and what it's all about, the true gospel. Well, we all know that the truth of the Word of God is about our walk and our belief and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have we ever accepted Him? It is our belief in Him. And are we walking that way? But you see, that's what the Word's all about, is gaining truth from this Word. He starts out here in chapter 3, here in verse 1. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in these shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abram might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which is 430 years after cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more the promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise is made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this, his word this morning. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward and take us just a little deeper and give us a little more knowledge of this scripture that we have just read. And once again, we give thanks and praise unto the Father that we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. As we back up here with this first verse, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Well, we know he's calling them foolish, but he's not doing that to be calling them stupid. That's not why he's calling them foolish. But he's doing it because of their failure of the use of moral or spiritual disconcernment. And he's using that word bewitched there, which means also that they've been an evil spell cast. Think about that. Upon them. Now I wonder who'd do a thing like that. Now who'd come along and into a church and cast an evil spell upon it? The prince of this world, Satan himself. And he does it through mankind. He does it through those that don't know any better or understand the meaning of the word of Almighty God. Now, so we know that our day and time that we're living in now, we see a lot of trouble and problems with the churches. A lot of them are not teaching the things that they should be teaching. But we're not by ourselves. Here in the founding of the churches, these early churches, they had all kinds of things going on among them. And that's why we have the Bible today, really, especially the New Testament. It's because of all those problems. That's why Jesus came into the world. He came into the world to establish God's church. Because mankind was not keeping the law. The law, when you go back in to the old part of the Bible, the Old Testament, and you really begin to see what was set up under the law, there was a lot of things that had to be done and kept and just certain ways of doing it. Well, in mankind on his own, which he was, because they didn't have the Holy Spirit to guide them. Just them and the flesh, the world out here. So they wasn't keeping the law. Then God was wanting mankind. You see, he loves all of mankind. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter what you've done. From murder on, God still loves you, and he don't want you lost. But that's your choice. You have to choose how you're going to walk, whether you're going to walk in righteousness or not. And if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, or if you're going to follow the ways of this world out here and other people, listening to others, listen to your family members and friends and people that you'll talk to that will lead you away from the things of God. And there's a lot of them out there today that'll do just that. Instead of walking with you and trying to get you stronger in the Lord, they're trying to drag you back down with them. We see an awful lot of that going on right today. An awful lot of them. Now, we know that so much is taught that should not be. But here now, verse 2 says, this only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Well, Paul's appeal to the Galatians on himself, he was letting them know that they was to live by faith, not by the law. You and I cannot live by the law today and make heaven our home. And this chapter here has told us in its way several times that we can't do that. That's why we are to walk with Jesus. He fulfilled the law. So now that's what we walk in. We walk in that fulfillment of the law and walk filled with the Holy Spirit, if so be that we have ever received it. But we have so much misteaching going on there. We have those that are telling you that at the moment you repent and accept Christ, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we have those that tell us that you're not filled with the Holy Spirit until you're baptized. But when you're baptized, right then, you just automatically you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Neither is true. Now, it don't mean that it can't happen. But most of the time, it don't. And it can happen in different ways. You see, it depends on your knowledge and what you have already accepted when it comes to things that way. Now, I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about. So if you'll go with me over here to Acts 19. I want to share a little something with you here. We were talking about baptizing Thursday evening. We were talking about baptizing in several different ways, you know, by in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, or in the name of Jesus. Well, 19th chapter of the book of Acts really lets us know what is expected. We'll start here with verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now they were believers in Jesus. But they were babes. They were new. Didn't know a whole lot. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. We got an awful lot of churches out here today that's not teaching about the Holy Ghost at all. And then a lot of them is teaching wrongly. But anyway, now, in verse 3, and he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? He said, if you've never heard about it, how were you baptized? They said unto John's baptism. That was being baptized for repentance and under the law. That's when they was using in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then said Paul, John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance. He's letting them know, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They rebaptized him because they had been baptized wrong. Now, they've been baptized, and since Paul and all were there, it says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. So you see, they had been believers. We don't know how long, but we know they had been a period of time in there. Could be weeks, months, or even a few years. Before. And they were believers. In fact, he had even called them disciples. Now, but to show you, things don't always work just a certain way. Come with me now over to the 10th chapter of Acts. I'm going to share something else for you to know and to, so you can understand and know the truth of how God works. Now, I'm going to start here with verse 43. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. All. These are just now becoming believers. They just heard the word. And the Holy Spirit now had fell on them. They'd received the Holy Spirit. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also is poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter. Now look at this next verse. It just tears apart a lot of this misteaching. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? They were filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and had never been baptized. You see, God works in different ways with different people. It's what you do have knowledge of, what you can understand and accept at the time. He knows. We don't. Even those that might receive it. We don't understand sometimes. That's like when he brought me off of my deathbed and all. I didn't understand a whole lot. And as he was teaching me different things because of what he was calling me for, the line of work he was calling me for almost 3 years. My Lord God kept me scared to death. Now, I don't know how many of you went through that kind of experience. But he was teaching me things that was contrary to everything I had ever been taught in church. But you see, here, they were filled with the Holy Spirit before they were baptized. We go on to 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. They wanted him to stay then with them certain days on. But you see, even in those churches, those early churches, they was having problems. And that's why Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians. He's calling them foolish. He's wanting to know how it is that they let somebody bewitch them to lead them away from the true gospel, the gospel that they had been taught. Now, 3. Once again, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? They begin in the Spirit into a Christian life. And they were to be made perfect by the flesh, which would bring them to a spiritual completion in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they were falling away. They hadn't reached that spiritual perfection yet. And they was letting those that were trying to cut Paul down lead them away from the truth of God's word and take them back into the law. We must stick and stand firm in the spirit, always holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's where everything you and I will receive from God will come through Him. And the only way we can get to God the Father is through Jesus. He is the door. He is the way. The only way. We can't go around Him, under Him, or over Him. We've got to go through Him. And then we must have accepted the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Without Him, we'll never reach that point of being born again. And John, the Gospel of John, third chapter, Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He told Nicodemus and warned you and I that no man could enter the kingdom of God unless he was born again. We've got a lot of them out here today that's walking not born again. They have no idea even of what you're talking about when you talk to them. They can't tell you anything about being born again. And yet, you can't get into heaven without it. Now, you can go back here to 1 John. And let's take a look at something. You know, you hear me go over some things quite a bit. But it's when it's given to me by the Spirit. Because a lot of times, we don't get it the first few times we even hear it. And then we do have new ones to call in. Now, if you're a born again child of God, do you sin? No, you don't. In fact, if you are born again, you cannot sin. The Holy Spirit is not going to let you do it.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and times shall be no more, and the morning breaks in.